In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. Back to these calls in a minute. You know, the conversation with the Baldingers was interesting, and we'll have more year. Now, I fully expect this Jets offense to get healthier as the year goes on.
Right.
I do. You know, whether it's Mike Williams shedding the rust and gaining the trust and more rapport with Rodgers. Not trust, I'm sure Rodgers knows he's good. But like that extra sense, that intuition, and Garrett Wilson continuing to flow, get the tight ends involved. Breece Hall not putting it on the turf. O-line being better, a lot better than a year ago. But the stuff that jumps out to me, you know, just said thoroughly outcoached. Like, not even close.
Chess and checkers.
Ugh.
You can be hopeful if you're a Jet fan. And again, we both of us didn't think it was the worst thing in the world last night. It wasn't good, obviously, but I'm just taking away, hey, they have a quarterback here. Long way to go to get to that Super Bowl level. But when Baldy broke it down like that, not only did he say chess versus checkers, which just should put it in perspective when you talk Super Bowl and a team wasn't sniffed the postseason. Okay, that should put it in a little bit of perspective. But when he said that he thinks the defense, because if the defense is an elite and a top three defense, I don't care how good Aaron Rodgers is. Ultimately, that's where the Jets' demise is going to be. It's going to be the thing that could separate them and get them to a Super Bowl level. If it's a great, legit, elite defense, regardless of stats, or the thing that's going to break their season if they're not as good as it needs to be under Saleh. And Baldy painted a pessimistic picture that maybe the defense is overrated by at least his estimation.
Well, I mean, you know, Will McDonald's going to bring very little to the table. I mean, that's a massive problem. First round pick, I don't know why they did that. He's too light. It's just whatever, you know. Oh, my God. I think that the Reddick stuff, and I have been on the record firmly, like the Jets can't crack, but now I don't care.
Yeah.
Like future precedents, like that's important. There's a reason why, you know, outside of Hicks and Severino, the Yankees don't deviate from their practices of, you know, buying out a couple of years of arbitration. Like,
you're
a lot
allowed
of
to make an exception.
You're allowed to make an exception. But once you do make the exception, then knock, knock. Oh, who is all it? Right. So-and-so's agent. Guess what? We're not happy. We want more money. And now you start to really create a threat of discontent and inconsistency, which is not good for a franchise that's trying to define stability. But these guys are also hanging by a thread to keep their jobs here. So to hell with consistency in 4 or 5 years. You may not be here in 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Hey, look, they need Reddick. Now, I'm not saying they should cave immediately, but he was. It's the reason why I was trying to make a bigger deal of it. People are like, no big deal. They don't need Reddick. Oh, they don't need Reddick? Why'd they trade for him? They do need Reddick. And it's not just because of last night, because if anything, last night was about the rush defense, not about getting to the quarterback, which, of course, is Reddick's greatest strength.
Let's get back to the calls here. Not a good debut, but certainly not hopeless. I still think the Jets do win a lot of games. I'm very confident that they will, but now you got to go out and do it. 888-808-1019. John is down. Washington, D.C. on the free Odyssey app. John, what's happening? BT and Sal.
BT, Sal, what's up, boys?
Hey.
Long-time suffering Jets fan over here. Look, I got my biggest point today is about Joe Douglas and how everyone was so high on Joe a couple of years ago. But before I say that, I just got to say, I mean, no Christian McCaffrey last night, and you give up 180 rushing yards. I mean, if Robert Saleh wasn't already on the hot seat, that thing is blistering hot right now. But back to my point, Joe Douglas, everyone gives him a pass, I think, because he, you know, he took Sauce. He got Garrett Wilson, Brees, Jermaine. That was a great draft. But let's not forget, I mean, this is the same GM that took Zach Wilson. He took Mekhi Becton, quarterback, left tackle, arguably the two best, you know, most important positions on your team. And then you just mentioned Will McDonald. I mean, the guy played last night but was nowhere to be found. They could have easily taken a slot receiver like Jackson Smith and Jigba. And then the other one that really pissed me off was when he took Becton. I mean, you could have gotten Tristan Wirfs. I mean, so, and now you got the Reddick situation. And I mean, you're going in, you're trading for a guy who we all knew has issues with contracts on different teams. He's moved around a lot of places. And now, you know, you're playing this whole, you know, game of cat and mouse here. It's like, when are you going to swallow your pride? Oh, you know, he didn't show up to the facility, and I'm not giving him an extension. I mean, Mike, are they just going to burn this pick? And all of a sudden, you know, so what is, you know, Joe Douglas's draft record really going to look like when it comes down to it? What do you guys think about Joe?
He's going to get fired. Nice, if they don't win this year, he's going to get fired.
Yep.
I mean, there's some good. There's some great things that I like about Joe Douglas. Some of the trades, the Jamal Adams trade comes to mind.
Yeah. Sam Darnold trade. He got something for Sam.
He's shown. Well, I mean, you could question that, though, saying that he chose the wrong quarterback. I get it. But yeah, he's shown discipline in certain regards. He's not going to be a pushover. But he's also missed many times. And as you just pointed out, in many integral spots. Like, you can't miss that badly on the quarterback. He did. You missed on Mekhi Becton. You missed on defensive players. You put yourself in a position where you had to go try to patch it all by trading for Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years of age. Like,
you're missing the biggest one.
Well, the head coach.
He missed on the head coach.
He missed on the head coach. I mean, if they don't win this year, there's nothing else to say. We've seen it long enough.
Oh, yeah.
With Joe Douglas. He's going to get fired.
There's no suspense with this movie. We know how this movie ends. Like, there's no intrigue. That's it. You know, we were even making the case last year. You can make the case, at least from Robert Saleh's perspective.
Which I would have done, both of them out.
Yeah, we both said that. You know, and we're both, you know, the Joe analysis is a little tougher because it's just more complex because some of the good is so good and then some of the bad is so bad. But the bottom line is, I mean, either win or you lose. That's it.
Plus, I do think the good looks better and he looks better because of what came before him.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad and so inept so long that somebody with some kind of competent behavior was like, oh, my God, he's finally got it. But in the big picture, does he really? And the proof is in the pudding. He's missed on too many picks.
It's an interesting point. Like, when you're terrible before, just you're being average in certain spots, it elevates maybe unfairly. Let's go to Queens. Dave, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Yo, what's good, guys? First of all, love the show.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, so first off, BT, before I get to my point, I owe you a thank you because I'm a videographer and an editor.
Yes.
And I put this video together with your rant before the Jetting yesterday, and you reposted it everywhere. So I appreciate
that. That was great, man. Yeah. Thank you very much. It was great.
Yeah, no problem. I had to do it. Had to be done. Somebody had to do it.
Uh-huh.
That was good. I saw that. I thought it was one of our guys who did it.
It was. One of our guys sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, with my point about the Jets defense, I personally think, obviously, with the results last night, it's not what everyone wanted as a Jets fan. But if there was going to be a night where the Jets defense didn't look like the Jets defense, I honestly wouldn't mind it being versus the 49ers in week one. They're a little bit humbled, and I don't think you're going to see that again within the next few weeks with the Titans and the Patriots. I just personally think everyone's overreacting with Hassan Reddick over here. I think that there's going to be different opinions coming week two and week three.
Yep.
And I just think with the humbleness that comes to the Jets defense, I personally just don't see that coming again. They're going to be too pissed off about that to make something like that happen again.
Well, listen, Dave, there's no way the Titans are going to push them around or the Pats. I mean, certainly, if they do, again, a deeper set of issues, but there's no way that's happening to that extent where they're just going to possess the ball basically double the time and make the Jets look like a JV team. That's not happening. But I don't understand How you think about how, I mean, just again, just go back to the unkillable rant, and I'm not even on the freaking team. Imagine how they felt last year, four plays in, Rodgers done, everything stripped from them, getting pounded from every direction, the quarterback, the coach, and that's how they entered the season. They should have been so galvanized. They got their quarterback back. They waited. We waited a year. They waited a year to be able to be in a position to play meaningful football. And that's how they lower the pads and hit. That's how they attack. They didn't look like they wanted to play.
I do think, though, the humble pie that they were served, as the caller said there, basically that they were humbled, is going to make them better.
It might, but why did they need that dose of humble pie?
I mean,
they weren't 14-3.
I really don't think. I think it was two things. I think it's number one, it's week one going into a season, which a lot of teams are going to have rust. And I think number two, they went and ran into a machine. The Niners are a machine, a well-oiled machine. They've been here before. Checkers versus chess, whatever you want to use to describe it, I don't think they're anywhere close to the 49ers level. And I think they got steamrolled by a team who was, you know, hitting the ground running in mid-season form coming off a Super Bowl. That's the team that is hungry. That's the team that's on a mission to prove something. That's the team that is smarter, well-coached, more talented, whatever you want to say. The Niners are just on a different level. I think it was more about that than lack of effort or even preparation for that fact.
Well, I mean, okay, I can't prove it. I could just, you know, watching the game, I'm just saying, why are they not wrapping up? Like, it's one thing to be in the wrong spot, to be out-schemed, which, oh, yeah, by the way, they were. Another thing to put the ball on the turf or to drop a third down pass in the first series like Lazard did or other mistakes that were made. Again, a little rusty week one. We're not going to go nuts here. And I'm largely positive and definitely still bullish on the Jets. But, no, I saw a team that did get pushed around a little bit. And it's one thing if the other team is just smarter, which they are based on Shanahan's advantage over Robert Saleh and everybody else. But that they were pushed around on national TV doesn't sit well with me. I don't understand how that can. I don't know how can you run out of the tunnel on Monday Night Football and just get pushed around?
Because they're not as good.
Yeah, but you could be inferior talent-wise and still like show resistance.
Yeah,
those are two very different things.
There was no resistance to be found against that Niners offensive
tough line.
Because
they weren't tough. That's what I'm saying.
I just don't think they had it. The Niners offensive line just mauled them.
Yeah, I know they did. They did, but I haven't seen the Jets defense get mauled by anybody.
Well, but again, this is a different level. Like, that's what the Niners do, especially when you talk about running the football. Doesn't matter who the back is. Look at the lanes that were created for the running back. That's the point. That's why Ruben Jones years ago or the guy whoever it may be, that's how they do it. It's the offensive line, the zone blocking. You see it right off. They get off the ground and just maul you in the face. They create a wide open lane, and a running back takes off.
And then, by the way, their receiver, a little gadget guy, is as tough as anybody's position. Who the hell wants to try to tackle Deebo Samuel?
That's all by design as well. I'm surprised. I was actually surprised that the Niners went and got Christian McCaffrey because their bread and butter for years has just been, we'll plug in a running back, and he's going to be one of the best running backs because it's about our scheme, as opposed to McCaffrey, who's a skilled back. Now, maybe Shanahan thought that it could be a missing piece or take it to another level.
For sure.
Hey, imagine what we could do with a guy with this skill set.
Yeah.
And you saw some of it last year. But, I mean, they always, Shanahan, the Shanahans, not just Kyle, his father, they did this with endless backs for years, so it's nothing new.
Let me throw this at you. I don't know if there's anything to be said here, but let's just a little bit of a different angle.
Yeah.
So nobody's sitting here disputing the gap between Shanahan and Robert Saleh.
Right.
I mean, it's basically as sizable as the Knicks and the Nets right now.
Yeah.
You know? It's wide.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe wider than that, but yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nets were pretty bad last year, man.
Yeah.
But it could be. Fair enough. Yeah, I hear you. So how much of that was made worse by the fact that not only is Shanahan just a great coach compared to anybody, forget about Saleh, but he knows Saleh's tendencies.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he knows what he's thinking. He coached with him.
Understood. But wouldn't you think then that would help Saleh too?
Yes, but not if you're not as intelligent
in the football sense.
But you can't exploit it as easily.
Usually guys who know each other that well and practice against each other and talk about game plans, there'd be more of a balance there.
There would be, but it always goes advantage better coach.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's a great response. Like, well, okay, you might be right, but If Shanahan is so familiar with what he thinks Saleh will do, then why the hell wouldn't it work at least a little more for Robert Saleh pertaining to the same concept of knowing or at least thinking and guessing right what Shanahan's about to do?
Because Shanahan cleared the brains.
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, Shanahan cleared the brains behind it. And by the way, comparing Saleh to Shanahan, like, Shanahan may be the best in the league outside of Andy Reid.
McVay's
right now,
really good too. McVay's up there, but he's on the short list. Shanahan's phenomenal,
and Saleh is at the bottom of the list. Yeah. So it's not fair to just compare him to one of the best right now. However, you'd like him to be competent. If he were middle of the pack, it'd be a different story, and he's not. Saleh's not middle of the pack.
No, and by the way, if the Jets are going, I agree, he's not middle of the pack. If the Jets are going to go anywhere where we hope that they can go, I don't know, eventually you're going to run into a good coach. You know what I mean? You're going to run it. You might not run into Shanahan until, if you're lucky enough to get to the Super Bowl, but whether it's, they usually do play fairly well against the Bills, and Belichick is gone, but... You know, they didn't have any answers for Miami last year. They got absolutely abused by the Miami Dolphins. They were lost. So that is a coaching disadvantage. Now, the Bengals should get their act together at some point there, though I'm not saying you can't match wits with Taylor. But, good teams are generally well-coached and very talented. The Jets have some talent, and they need to prove they've got at least a competent coach, which last night... And he's not alone. I don't want to be overly harsh, but honestly, I'm watching that game, and I'm saying the Jets have a zero as head coach right now. He's doing nothing positive.
Bottom line, long way to go.
Yeah,
and it's week one.
Long way to go.
Just getting started.
Long way to go.
You saw what a Super Bowl team looked like last night. It wasn't the Jets.
It was not. I would just add the perspective of it was week one. It was 3,000 miles away. The Niners are amazing, as good as anybody. And the quarterback, who is 40, was rusty. And Mike Williams didn't really play. And Hassan Reddick is not there. This Jets team's winning some.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Games to see.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Funny, BT and Sal back on The Fan, and Troy said it last night during the game, talking about Brock Purdy. We focus so much on Rodgers here. It's really hard to get separation from draft status. So we all look at Brock Purdy as, well, almost still with that overachievement. And I don't know how fairly he's actually analyzed, because if you watch Brock Purdy play, and he was a second-round pick or a late first, I think he'd be perceived very differently by a lot of people.
Well, I like him. But that's the whole talking point. It's like you almost don't believe in it because of where he was selected. It just goes to show you nobody knows anything about anything. I mean, these guys are paid to pick these players here. And even the Niners, they took him with the last pick. If they loved him that much and thought he would be this, like, where do you think Purdy would go in a draft right now? I mean, he's certainly going top three, I mean, in the league. I mean, think about where you're taking.
You mean a top three quarterback?
Top five. Well, yeah.
No, he's not top three.
Well, Brock Purdy's one of the best quarterbacks in football right now.
Top three.
If you want to redraft right now, minimum top five.
I mean, I like him. I don't know if I'm going that nuts. I mean, top three, top five. I mean, you got You got Josh Allen.
Well, I mean,
you got
his,
Joe Burrow. You have Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You have Pat Mahomes.
Right, but maybe the better way to say it is out of his draft where he went
that's
last
different.
In his
that's
draft.
Different.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
gotcha.
Think about if you were redrafting that. You won't go over the league. He's still a top quarterback in the league.
Though. I like him quite a bit.
I also think it's not just where he got drafted. It's also a system thing. Can I because of the Shanahan system and other guys have had success.
And Garoppolo, some others. Yeah,
now Purdy's taking it a step further. One thing that bothered me about Purdy last night, I'd be curious to get your take on this.
Okay.
This is a personal thing. I know that. I'm not trying to pick on the guy.
Okay.
But quarterbacks that play with the wedding ring thing on, it annoys me, man. He's not alone. I know it, but I noticed it last night. Like, bro. We
take
get
the ring
it.
Off.
We get it. You're married. Like, congratulations. You love your wife. Yeah. Oh, I know. You love your wife more than I do because you want to wear your ring while you play the sport of football, whether it's a rubber thing or not. Like, come on, bro. We don't need it. I don't need to see the ring on your finger to prove that you're married. I don't care if you're married. Play, and it's not just him. Does Kirk Cousins do it too? Where it's
I feel like he does.
Yeah, he might too. He's another one. We've seen it before with these guys. Like, come on. You're playing football. Well, what are you? And it's always quarterbacks, too. Like, you don't see wide receivers
maybe kickers,
doing it.
Maybe kickers. Well, the receivers have gloves on. You don't know.
Yeah, well, I doubt they're wearing wedding rings.
I mean, probably. It's dangerous
football.
If it's metal. Yeah, now, they got the rubber one that I use when I play golf, but I lost that one. Like, that black one.
Now, why do you use it when you play golf, specifically to have it on?
Well, what happened was I couldn't find my original ring.
Right.
I lost it. And then I got a black rubber one.
Right.
Okay.
Just
for the symbolism of it.
Right, okay.
You can't recreate the first one. There was a message in there and some other things, you know, that Jen hadn't
engraved.
How'd
you lose it?
I forgot.
You don't even remember where?
I forgot.
God, I remember my father lost one time. They said he put it on he was going to wash his hands in like some bathroom while they're traveling, left it on the sink, never put it back on. At least he knew where he lost it. Never got another one.
Call out Purdy. You going to call me out now?
No, I'm just curious. You said you lost your ring. You just kind of glossed over it.
I don't know where I lost it. And then we got this one, which is kind of like a recreation of the first one.
Okay. So
but
now,
I don't have an issue with these guys wearing their rings when they play. Why does it bother you so much?
It doesn't bother me
much. It sounds like it does.
It's something that I noticed that I just find like, okay,
what do you think? They're kissing them? Like they're kissing up?
Yes.
Just say it then.
Yes, I do.
Stop dancing.
No,
what about it bothers you?
What is the point? What
they love their wife?
Okay, so what? So the guys who don't wear it don't love their wife?
No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that the guys who do maybe are a little more willing to express it.
You know what?
Just say it. Say it.
It's weak. You're playing a football game.
I knew you were going here, so
it's
just
weak.
Lay it all out.
It's weak.
Weak. Why is it weak?
Sometimes my wife will get on me. Like, I wear my ring every day, like, to work as part of that when I get dressed. On the weekend, if I'm not... Like, I'm not putting on my watch or jewelry on the weekend. Even if we go out, like, I'm not...
Do you ever have an earring, by the way?
I did for
you did, right? Because I just saw you grave your ear. I'm just maybe asking that. You did?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't allowed to. My father.
Oh, my dad.
But I got one anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Right, anyway.
Hoop or stud?
And that was a hoop.
Yeah, me too.
And one of the hoop in the... Anyway, and it was a stupid thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. But like, what are you trying to prove?
Nothing.
Like, you're married. That's great. You're in love. On the football field for a game for 3.5 hours, it's not the time to profess your love.
No, he's not. Is he down on one knee? Is he writing poems or is he playing football?
What is he got the ring on for? It's not going to do anything for you. You wear a watch too?
No. Well, Odell did. Remember when Odell did?
Odell.
Let me ask you this. The ring. You're ridiculous. Is this? Does it adversely affect somebody's play? Honestly.
I mean, I guess not a quarterback if he's throwing with his right hand and his ring is on his left hand.
Okay.
Probably not.
Now, if Boomer was wearing it or Steve Young, you know, maybe it's more of an issue as a lefty.
I would bet Boomer didn't do it.
Because he's a lefty.
No, because he's a...
What, you say because he's a man?
Yes!
Oh, dude,
what is wrong
with you, man?
And a tough guy back in the 80s, they probably wouldn't even allow that stuff. Now, again, I don't know, and maybe I'm making too big a deal.
You are.
I just don't need to see it. Well, do baseball players wear their wedding ring?
Yeah, some guys actually do.
No way.
I've seen some guys wear. I
no
swear to God.
Way. And if you do, that's pathetic.
Oh, so they're
too.
So they're not manly enough
baseball
for Sal.
Player, no, it's not,
they're beneath Sal's code of mandom.
No. It's not about
what is it?
It's not about mandom.
Are you mad that they're happy?
Stuff.
What are you mad at?
What? I just don't understand the point. I'd like them to, because you wear your ring as like a part. You know,
so you wake up, you put your ring on. Why do you wear your ring?
Well, I guess because I have to because I got married.
I guess she's gonna yell at you.
But if I had something to do, that impact, like I would not wear it to the gym or to play golf.
Yeah, I take it off when I have a gym in my basement. When I'm lifting, I take it off.
Right. Well, as you should because you shouldn't do like I don't.
It gets in the way.
I don't shower with it on either. I take it off.
You really?
Yeah, I take it. I'm not going to shower.
Okay, so then why do you put it back on? What's the reason to put it back on?
I mean, I guess because I'm married and symbolism.
Okay, yeah, symbolism. Yeah. Okay, so
I guess that's what it's for, right? I mean, when you get down to it.
Sure. I mean, it's. I don't. I mean, is it literally to dissuade other, in our case, women approaching
us? Show maybe. That you're married. I mean,
yeah. I mean, maybe that's probably the origin of it. You know, literally, this person is attached legally to the other. I guess
generally, people could see that on your face, like, oh, that guy, he's married.
You think so?
Yes, I do. Look at how beaten down he is walking down the street.
Only if you're a chump.
No. Come on.
No.
I was just being facetious.
No, I was going to say, because there's no way.
No, I get it.
Okay. So if it's about symbolism, which it is, that's the origin of the ring, then don't you think that the strongest show of symbolism is on national TV?
But that's what I mean. That's pathetic.
What, he's showing off?
I don't do it. Yes. Yes.
You don't wear it on SNY?
Oh, no, I do, but it's different. I'm not playing BT.
Why do you wear it on as baseball night in New York? You got more eyes on you than you do when you're walking on the street.
BT, I'm not a football player.
I understand that, but you're a broadcaster. But you wear your ring during your job, and he's wearing his ring during his job.
His job is to play football.
And your job is to talk sports.
Yeah, one is a ring.
One's
a physical sport. That makes absolutely no sense. It's the same way you don't wear it to play golf or go to the gym.
Some people do. I just can't.
But that's stupid.
It's whatever.
Yeah, but I mean,
why does this bother you?
It's his personal thing. That's fine. But it's like, look at me. Look at how much I love my wife. I'm going to wear a ring symbolism during a game, an NFL game, where you get your hand broken, for goodness sake.
Now, did he get his hand broken?
No.
Did it impact his play?
I think it's not. And by the way, it's not just Purdy. It's anybody. Yeah. Like I said, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I can't. I can't prove this. I feel like men who are very religious are more apt to wear it.
Is that it's a religious thing?
I think Kirk Cousins. I don't know. I don't know solely. I don't want to cast a wide net. I could obviously be wrong, but I feel like men who espouse their religion more publicly, somebody like Kirk Cousins, devout religiously, I think they're maybe a little bit more likely to wear it to show their love for their wife.
Keith McPherson just checked in Texas. They made Zach Eflin take his ring off last year with the Rays. I mean, it is a thing when you're an athlete. Like, it's not just football, but we see it primarily with quarterbacks, you know, because they don't have to catch the ball with their left hand usually, or whatever, if you're a lefty throw. And you don't see it normally. Like, I don't see it on baseball players.
Would I wear mine? No. No, I'm not playing a sport. Does it bother me that other men do? I don't even think about it.
I didn't think about it either until I saw him last, and I was like, come on, dude, you're playing football. What's with the wedding ring?
You're making him see, this is where, if we're just doing a podcast here, we could really let loose. Because what you're saying is, hold on, I'm going to walk you there, and then we'll stop short of really jumping into the shark-infested waters. What you're really saying is that he's a weak man.
No.
That's what you're hinting at.
I think he's, it's either that.
Yeah, okay.
He's either trying to appease his wife by saying, look,
here we go.
I got your support on national TV.
All right, yeah.
Or prove to the world, show the world how much you love your wife. You're not doing it for your wife necessarily because you're.
How do you know?
Because she knows you're married to her. She should know how much you love
her
without you having to
wear
the ring during a damn game. Well, then that's unhealthy that it makes her feel secure during a game.
No, I mean, not that she needs that.
And my wife's going to be, oh, where's your ring? I left that at home. What do you want me to do about it? Like, big deal. Sue me. Like, my actions each day.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that should mean more than just wearing a ring.
I understand that.
And who are you proving it to, by the way? Like, wear it every single step of the way. I don't care.
Yeah.
Wear a shirt that says, I love my wife, I'm married. Do that. Profess your love for your wife and how great your marriage is.
Yeah.
You're playing a football game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why jewelry, jewelry should be banned.
Wear chains, it's okay.
No, that should
it's
be banned
okay.
too.
Garrett Wilson, the chain bouncing around, that's cool.
That should be banned that's too, right. But it's not. There's not like a hey, look at me.
No, but there's a danger element. What's more
Correct.
Dangerous, a
Correct.
Rubber ring on your finger or a chain around your neck?
Yeah, Garrett Wilson was messing with that last night. I don't think they should be allowed to wear jewelry. Period.
Yeah, I do. Actually, I agree with that. In football, in the NBA, they used to wear the gold back in the day
while they're playing.
Yeah, like in the ABA in the 70s and the multiple gold chains.
I've never seen
like
that.
Daryl Dawkins, Dr. J. Absolutely,
I can't recall ever seeing.
If I was playing in the 70s, I would have been rocking.
Maybe like
three
an old dunk
chains.
Contest. Did Kenny Skywalker wear one time?
Kenny did.
Okay, maybe that's where
Kenny wore multiple when he won for his dad who had passed away.
All right,
Kenny won it the weekend that his dad died.
I mean,
you are.
What point are you trying to prove, bro? You married.
See,
that's great.
This is why I had to walk you to it.
Yeah,
because. You basically call the man weak.
No, I'm just,
you are.
Yeah.
You are.
It's a weak move.
Listen, if it does, I'm sure some guys do it because they're kissing ass, and yeah, I'm not. That's weak. I'm with you on that. That's weak. That's, you know, that's weak. But if you're doing it because you genuinely just love your wife,
it still should be not allowed on the field.
And next, you're gonna say people shouldn't get married. This guy,
yeah, well,
the author of unhappiness over here.
Happily married. Next Look at my ring. Here we go. Award today.
And why don't you clank your ring on the desk so if your wife has this on, she can hear it. Sal, he's wearing his ring.
I mean, come on. What does it mean?
What does it mean to meet you married? You nut. What does it mean?
Let's get the calls.
There's a little stress in my house last night.
Ooh.
Either way. It's just, you know.
I like this stuff.
Oh, man. It's just... You know.
Well, because the Jets will lose.
I can't, like, the kid. I
tough to lock into the Jets game
it's
the way
tough,
you want
you know,
to.
Okay, you know, I'm just going to say it. I know I got break. It's tough, though. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. My daughter is amazing.
Right.
I love my daughter. She's the best. She is witty. She is beautiful. She is great. I can't stand watching football with her. I can't. I can't. He's locked in. He's running around, faking tackles, in my good block, real talking football, and she's running around. And I know she's trying to emulate a big brother, but it's just a different projection. It's not about the game. And Daddy definitely had a blow-up moment last night, which, of course, I felt immediately bad about.
Did this come after the defense was getting abused?
Yep. Of course, it wouldn't have come up when they were winning 7-3. Daddy was happy at that point. No problem. It's so cute. My 8-year-old daughter's watching the game. It's cute. Jets are getting smashed. Suddenly, it's not as cute. Oh, God. I'm not going to become that guy who doesn't watch it with their kids. And I'm not going to be. I'll never become the dad who says, yeah, son, you can watch. No way.
Well,
never. No.
Yeah.
Well, never. No, I'll never do that. But, you know, she's young and she doesn't really know football. She doesn't even like the Jets. She likes the Cowboys.
Right. Well, that's the problem. You had Cowboys fans watching a game.
Then my wife got mad at me because of the way I reacted to something that they were doing.
Right.
Then I went upstairs. In protest, I watched the series up in our room.
Ooh.
And then I felt terrible, and I walked back down. And then But then the whole mood was killed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Unkillable.
Hey, but I'm still wearing my ring, all right? So she can't lock the doors on me when I get home today.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
All right, brought to you by... let's get the call of the day. Here you go, boys. Jermaine Illuminor is with us here, BT and Sal. Jermaine, it's Brandon and Sal. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
You know, Jermaine, one thing that I always think I would have an impossible time doing is remembering all these plays and different calls. How the hell do you do that in that huddle there? You got Jones barking out a bunch of different things, whatever Dable's saying in his headset. How do you remember every play that's going on in there?
Like I said, offensive line isn't for everybody, but the ones that know how to manipulate it to their liking and are intelligent enough to go out there and do their job are the ones that are the best in the league, and, you know, that's offensive line play. So I truly believe we're becoming a great offensive line this year.
Yeah, and looking forward to watching it, Jermaine, and hopefully I don't see – this is the one thing I always notice about offensive linemen. The false starts! I don't want to hear your name, Jermaine, called at all for those false starts. Keep it clean up there, will you?
Hey, I got you. That was my fault. You know, I have a quick hair trigger, so, you know, I love getting out. Like, I try to explode out all the time, and like I said, it won't happen again. That was my fault.
Trust me, you don't have to apologize to this guy. If you guys don't start winning, he's going to have to apologize to you based on how the interview's going to go.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. All right.
Don't worry. I'll remember that one.
There you go. Hey, Jermaine, with this guy, they usually do. There you go. I got to keep an eye on that Sal. BT and Sal call today brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo that you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
All right. I mean, look, there you have it. He was tremendous. It was fun to talk Giants. We'll do that. Baldy was great today. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app as well. So we'll have that every Tuesday with Baldinger joining us at 12:40. And then, Jermaine will join us at 11:10, I think. you know, every single week, which is fun. Tomorrow we have a big show with Howie and Susan joining us.
Yeah,
we'll have that for the playoff.
Fun.
We'll probably do more baseball tomorrow just because, you know, Wednesday, no game to react to, middle of the week. But before you know it, week two is already here. Thursday, start getting into football picks on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Time's moving fast. Yanks and Mets both last night. One, you know, and I'm looking forward to the Howie and Susan thing. Definitely an old school feel, but I think it works for us here with the Yankees and certainly the Yankees as a lock for the playoffs, and the Mets every day just giving more and more reason to believe that they'll find a way to get there. They're playing unbelievable baseball. Bring in Howie, bring in Susan. Let's chop it up. Let's get to it. All right, let's get back to you. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Let me get Tony's out in Houston, Texas on the Free Odyssey app. What's happening, Tony?
Well, no chance of Brock Purdy breaking a finger with a wedding ring because we weren't going to hit him last night, apparently. But yesterday, Sal brought up a really good point, I thought. He said, why did the Giants not take a quarterback in the third or fourth or fifth round? When you look at the quarterbacks that were taken in the first round, Bryce Young, Trey Lance, Will Levis was a second rounder. They're terrible. Some of them are terrible. Whatever. And you got guys like Cousins was a fourth rounder. Purdy was the last player taken, means every team passed on him six times. If these guys are, if the Giants wanted to give themselves some opportunity for some options, there were lots of opportunities for it. There's lots of quarterbacks roaming around out there, and you just have to reach out and get them. When the receiver for the 49ers dropped the ball in the end zone last night on an absolute strike, you're thinking, is it that hard to find a quarterback, or do we make it that hard by asking him to be Superman? We got CJ down here in Houston. He's terrific, but there aren't that many guys like that. But if you stand back there, you get a good package. Package in place, you can throw some strikes.
Well, that's the thing.
It's different.
You know, listen, Tony, it's an interesting point. It's one that's been hit a lot. Appreciate the call. There's only so many, you know, Josh Allens and guys that can go off script and really make something out of nothing consistently. Lamar could do it, even though Josh is much more physically imposing, and a few others, obviously. But if you're not drafted to a situation with good coaches, good O-line, couple of the weapons, decent defense to keep you off the field, or at least I should say give you better field position, You're up against it. And if you don't have the mind, you are cooked. It's over. You're going to drown.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brock Purdy is in a great system. He was set up to succeed. So much of this, like, we sit here and wonder, okay, well, think about it for a second. NFL executives, coaches, scouts, whatever it may be, they're not stupid, but they do miss quite a bit, right? Now, why is the reason for that? Well, sometimes you could miscalculate the importance of what is on the inside as opposed to what's on the film or whatever it may be. Okay, well, those are certain things. But the bigger thing to me would be the impact that your system, your foundation would have on the players that you bring in. It's not a coincidence that the Chiefs have been set up for success, that the Steelers have been set up for success, the Niners now, and there are other teams, those are just, you know, the top teams that come to mind. When you have that foundation and you know which players you want to identify to fit your system, that's a lot different. Like, let's say Brock Purdy was drafted number two overall by the Jets.
Yep.
Do you think Brock Purdy would be what he is right now?
There's no chance.
There's no chance. So how is the same player that is having great success at the NFL level continuously throughout a career, even though he's picked last in a league, how would that same player that's having that success, why would he be a total bust, we assume, if he went to the Jets? It's because of the foundation, and he was put into a position to succeed. Now, vice versa, would Zach Wilson have had the same success as Brock Purdy? I'm not so sure.
I hear you on
but
that.
But I do feel like he would have at least
he would have had a chance.
Yes.
I know.
We had no chance here.
Jets killed him. Jets killed him.
They set him up to fail. It's not, and I don't want to make it just about Zach Wilson. It happens all the time.
It does.
But it's one of the main reasons why teams miss on these picks, because generally the teams that are perennial losers are picking atop the draft, and they're trying to dig themselves out of it, and they can't do it the right way because they're looking for the savior.
Yep.
And they don't put them in a foundation where it's successful to succeed moving forward.
And they probably gave up 50 or 60 sacks the year before, because when you're a bad team, you got no O-line, and you come into the building with a coach who's hanging by a thread because he's lost for a couple of years, or it's a rookie who knows,
right,
who's swimming himself. It's a very unenviable position to be in. And he Brock Purdy was put in a good spot. But to the young man's credit, I mean, he's delivered. He's 18-4, and he's got three times more touchdowns than picks in his career.
And the Niners are a great example of both things, because they also traded up to take Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And he was a total bust. So he was put in a position to succeed, but they saw something early on with him and basically said, he ain't it. We're going to go in a different direction. And that's a credit to Purdy being better than he is. Mm. But, I mean, most times to me would be the foundation has to be built and you have to have players set up to succeed.
All right, final one of the day before we hand it over to Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Paul's down at Point Pleasant, New Jersey. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. Just watching that game last night, the fact that they can't stop the run, I mean, does the Jets run like a nickel-based defense? And it seems like there's a paradigm shift in the NFL. This year especially, they're going back to run heavy teams against these light bodies. That might cause them trouble against teams like Buffalo and Baltimore, Detroit, if they cross over and play.
Yep.
I just didn't hear what you guys think of that. I mean, last night it was just wrap up.
They got absolutely destroyed.
DJ Moseley, you look like you're toast. That's it.
Yeah. Paul, they got blown up. They got blown up. Thanks for calling, but they got blown up at the point of contact. Yep. And listen, it doesn't matter why they drafted Will McDonald. They did. But, you know, I'm sorry. When you're 230 pounds, I don't care how fast you move sideline to sideline. You know, if you can't create
Darren
more.
Lee.
Darren Lee's a good example. Yeah, oh God. Among others, as a point of resistance at the point of contact, they're 230. 230's light. That is light, man. So if you're not on the outside dancing and getting by people with your sheer speed, which, oh yeah, by the way, he doesn't do that either yet, you know, really, what do you have? You've got a vulnerable inside of the middle of the defense.
Hey, here's the bottom line. We need to see it. So far, I mean, we talked about it all, you know, off season long, and we got into it in week one. So far, what we've seen from both these teams has not been anywhere near good enough. And, you know, one had expectations to maybe be decent with the Giants. One had expectations to be in the Super Bowl if everything went well. Far from that after 1 week.
Well, the good news is, you know, it's not week 12 or 13 right, where the season's already written. It is plenty of time to regenerate. I fully expect the Jets will. Giants, hopeful, a little less convicted in that, but I didn't think they'd be very good in 2022 either, and they were. So, Sal, see you tomorrow, brother. Enjoy.
All right, BT.
Got that ring? Still wearing
you?
It?
I got mine. Yeah. I didn't lose mine.
I got it. Evan and Tiki up next. Good luck to the Yanks and the Mets. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. on The Fan. Bye-bye.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.